heart, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. And now lift the weak, say, I am strong. Lift the poor, say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks. When I look into your holiness, as I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, when I find the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, I worship you. I worship you, the reason I live is to worship you. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. The reason I live is to worship you. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. You know we're going to be doing it forever, huh? Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me. And I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands. For I will always sing of when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. 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 Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me. and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the tree, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. 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 Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Oh, Comforter and Friend, how we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, rain down. Holy Spirit, rain down. Rain down, oh Comforter and Friend, how we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, rain down. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can know what God has in store. So open up heaven, open it wide, over your church and over our lives. Holy Spirit, rain down. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can know what God has in store. So open up heaven, open it wide, over your church and over our lives. Holy Spirit, rain down. Holy Spirit, rain down.
Still not quite over it, but I'm getting there.
For thou, O Lord, above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. For Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. The earth Thou art exalted far above all gods. And I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, O Lord, I exalt Thee.
We exalt Thee. Good morning, everybody. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. So much higher than anything we can imagine, Lord. And Lord, yet you still look down upon us with love. Lord, open your word for us today. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us. Touch our lives, Lord, and change us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, it's almost New Year's. We made it through 2018, almost. Are we ready for 2019? Every year at this time, that's when we make promises to ourselves, New Year's resolutions. There's also something else that happens at the beginning of each year. I like to go back and I like to read the predictions that were made the year before. I don't read them at the beginning of the year because I trust God and what he's going to do. But it's interesting some of the things that they say are going to happen. So I made a list of some things. As one, I won't even mention his name because he's a psychic and I don't. Not going to go there. Anyway, here's some of the things that were supposed to have happened. The royal family in 2018. 2018 will create many changes throughout the world. In the first 3 months of 2018, the royal family will go through huge changes. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle will split up before the wedding. I don't think that happened, did it? And the Queen will announce her retirement with Prince Charles taking on her duties. Poor Prince Charles. I don't think he's ever going to get to be king. I don't know. Poor guy. The Queen is already planning her retirement in 2018 and is more than ready to take a huge step back and let other members of the royal family take over. And her health is going to fail, I guess, and or is supposed to have failed last year, and she'll struggle with health for some time. And the royal wedding scheduled for May 19th, 2018 will be canceled a month or two before, and the Queen is shown to have a fall in the first half of 2018, and she will have ongoing issues with her legs after this fall. Well, none of that happened, did it? Donald Trump. 2017 has been a hectic year for President Donald Trump, and going into 2018, he will be showing off about just how much he has achieved in such little time. Well, that actually happened. You know, but even a broken clock is right twice a day, isn't it? Then this person goes on to say, I don't see President Donald Trump completing 2018 as president. He will be assassinated in October 2018, and his funeral will take place in wintertime. Well, thank God that that didn't happen. Goes on to say that President Trump and his wife will be having marital problems behind closed doors, and they'll be struggling to keep on their fake smiles. And well, I don't believe that's true either. You can tell by looking at them that they're very happy together. Theresa May, I think she's the Prime Minister of England. Theresa May will step down in 2018. It'll happen after a surge of terror attacks across the United Kingdom. The press will have a field day with her after she steps down and will accuse her of drinking too much and or becoming a drunk. She'll go into hiding for some time after stepping down. Well, that didn't happen either. Gun violence in 2018, well, that's an easy one to predict. God bless you. There'll be a big brawl in and outside a pizza shop in 2018, and supposed to happen in the United Kingdom. I don't know if it happened or not, but there's always going to be gun violence. North Korea. During 2018, North Korea is shown to still be standing their ground when it comes to being prepared for war. They will test and launch more missiles throughout 2018, but they're not wanting to start a war. They're just making their stance clear, which is that they're more than ready and prepared for war should any other countries wish to start with them. North Korea wants to feel safe and protected, and they will continue to develop weapons for war to ensure that they're above every other country and able to defend themselves quickly and positively should they need to. I don't see that President Donald Trump changes his stance against North Korea in 2018. They're shown to exist as they're not, and I don't see any peace talks between them. Well, we know that didn't. That's wrong, don't we? Says in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and we're certainly not supposed to listen to people like that, are we? I don't know what the percentage rate is of accuracy. It's probably about the same as our percentage rate for our New Year's resolutions, probably, isn't it? Why can't we keep New Year's resolutions? They're no fun? 2018, was it a good year for you or a bad year? What are you expecting from 2019? For it to continue. Our reading this morning of Scripture is in Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And Joshua rose early in the morning. I love that when I read it in the Bible. Early in the morning. That always strikes something in me. You know, when God wants you to do something, when's the best time to do it? The only time to do it is early in the morning. You get an early start on it, and you don't wait. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. You have not passed this way before. Yet there will be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For ye have not passed this way before. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. You have not passed this way before. We could say the same thing about New Year's, couldn't we? It's all new. The slate is clean. The pages are blank. When you write the story of your year, what's it going to say? How will you feel about it? How will God feel about it? Are you satisfied with your relationship and your walk with God? You better not be answering yes. Nobody should be satisfied with their walk with God and their relationship with God. I don't care how godly you are, you still haven't arrived. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14 said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but what this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting the things before and pressing into that which is new, that which God has already prepared for us, hasn't he? It's there waiting for us. Just like the children of Israel when they crossed into the promised land. It's new. What do you want from God in 2019? What does God want from you? More. The answer to both questions is more, or it should be. We should always press towards more of God. And we should always be willing to give Him more than we were. A couple of years ago, in 2017, and I did it last year, and I'm going to do it again this year, I took the number, and I gave the meaning of the number, because numbers have meanings. 2017, the number of 17 was victory. And for the most part, it seemed like it was. Of course, if there's victory for one, that means that there's defeat for someone else, right? Just ask the Arizona Cardinals. They know all about that this year, I think. Yeah. 2018. In researching the number 18, I came across oppression and bondage, as I mentioned last year, but also life. Because the number 18 is the basic structure of life, apparently. The vertebrae, and there's a lot of other things, medical things that I can go through, which I don't have written down, so I won't. Oppression and bondage, or life. And I wondered about that, and it seemed to me that there was a choice. It could be one or it could be the other. In Deuteronomy 30:19 and 20, I'm going to read 20 also. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. That was last year, but it's still true this year, isn't it? And it's going to be true next year. Once again, I came up with two meanings. One is divine judgment for the number 19. Do we deserve divine judgment? A lot of people argue that we don't. But we see a lot of catastrophes happening. We see hurricanes. We see earthquakes. We see horrible fires. We see a lot of things happening. Doesn't it seem like God's trying to get our attention? What's it going to take for Him to get our attention? Some of us are listening. But most people deny that God would do that to us. After all, you know, we're His people. We do an awful lot of good things. We're good people. Even though we've killed over 60 million unborn babies. Even though our lifestyle doesn't live up to His standards, let me put it that way. Divine judgment. Or faith and hearing. Once again, it seems like there's a choice. Are the two connected? Do they work together, faith and hearing? I believe they do. I believe the Bible tells us they do. So what is faith? Best definition I ever heard for faith was two words, believing God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it gives us a description of faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, it doesn't just tell us what faith is, it also tells us when. When is faith? Faith is now. No matter what day it is, no matter when it is, faith is now. It's constant. It has to be constant. Now faith is. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We are asked right at the very beginning to believe in something we can't see. Why do we believe in something we see? Because God says it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He hits us with that right at the very beginning. How can we believe in that? Personally, I think the opposite is even harder to believe, so it wasn't all that difficult. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If somebody were to come up to my door and knock on my door and say, I'm giving you a Lamborghini, it'd be kind of hard for me to believe it. But if they held out that title deed where it's signed over to me, then it'd be, there'd be something substantial there in my hand. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The title deed is faith. God says it. It's true. Thy word is truth. It says in John 17. Second Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. If we could see what we're hoping for, we wouldn't need to hope for it. Has God proved himself faithful? Has he this year? He has every year, hasn't he? There's an incident that happened in the book of Exodus, chapter 14. The children of Israel had left Egypt, and they were headed towards the promised land. I think it was like a 10-day or 2-week journey that only took them 40 years. Exodus 14, I'm going to read verse 1 and 2 and also verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn into camp before our feet, Pi-hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. Verse 9, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea, beside Pi-hahiroth, before Baal-zephon. They were exactly where God told them to be. And what happened? The Lord allowed the Egyptians to come right down on top of them. There was no place for them to go. They had the sea on one side, and they had the Egyptians on the other side. But God brought them there. If God brings you somewhere, he's going to get you through whatever you're facing, isn't he? It says in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. They believed. Moses stretched out his rod over the water, and the water turned back. It was something completely impossible that could happen. Faith. Faith believes. Faith trusts. Faith anticipates. Faith obeys. Faith rests, walks, fights, loves, yields, submits, and receives. Faith. Faith in hearing. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Egyptians tried to pass over too. But they didn't have the word of God that they were going to be able to do it. I believe Moses did, because it said by faith they passed over. What the Egyptians had was presumption. That's not the same thing as faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What happens if we react without hearing? Where's the faith? See, the two are connected. Very much so. Hearing. Our God is a speaking God. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He talks to us. But in order to hear, what do we have to do? We have to listen. Isaiah 55:3 says, "Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live." Incline your ear. What does that mean? That means we point our ear towards God's direction. We expect to hear from Him. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Hear. We're commanded to hear. Revelation chapter 2, verses 7, 11, and 17, and 29, and chapter 3, verses 6, 13, and 22 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says." He that has an ear. What does that mean? That, not just talking physically, are they? He that has a mind to listen, who has inclined his ear to hear, and who believes that he'll be spoken to. There was a song back in the 70s by Simon and Garfunkel, a song called "The Boxer," and there's one line in that song that's always stuck with me. That's, "A man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest." There's a name for that called selective hearing. I think my father had that. Selective hearing. But there's no selective hearing with God, is there? We have to listen to what He says, and what, no matter whether we like it or not. Hebrews chapter 11, of course, is the chapter of faith. All those that are listed. And there's 19 instances of faith, by the way, which I guess that's where the number 19 means faith. But all of them did something by faith. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a land that he never saw before. By faith, Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his family. By faith, Abraham offered up his son as a sacrifice. By faith, Moses forsook the nation of Egypt. By faith, they all did something. Faith is an active word. It's not just sitting back and believing something's going to happen and not doing anything that he tells you to do. James 1:22 says, "But ye be doers of the word and not hearers only." See, these heroes of faith listed in Hebrews chapter 11, they weren't just hearers of the word, they were doers. Because usually if God's speaking to you, there's something He wants you to do. Maybe there's something, some way He wants you to react, or something, some attitude He wants you to change. Psalm 119, 1 through 11, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently." You notice every one of those has somebody doing something. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee." New Year's. 365 brand new days. They've never been used. We haven't passed this way before. Psalm 90:12 says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Ephesians 5:16 says, "Redeeming the time because the days are evil." Colossians 4:5 tells us to walk in wisdom, redeeming the time. Making each day count. Making full use of every day. That's what we're told to do, isn't it? I worked in a mill in Oregon for 13 years, and most of the time I fed wood onto a machine. And they wanted that line that I was feeding onto to be full. They didn't want gaps there any more than, you know, there had to be. I had a boss tell me one time that each empty place is a missed opportunity you never get back. We can say the same thing about our days as we enter this new year. Each day is an opportunity. How much are we going to miss? How much are we going to just sleep through and just ignore? We listen to God's voice. He'll speak to us and He'll fill those days with things of Him. So why can't we keep those New Year's resolutions? I always make real easy ones. New Year's resolution is kind of like a fast, isn't it? Have you ever noticed that the instant you decide you're going to fast, you're immediately hungry? It's authority. Taking authority in the spiritual realm. We take authority in our physical realm. We take authority in the spiritual realm. But are we relying too much on our own strength? Philippians 4:13 I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Getting old, I had a senior moment. But can we rely too much on Him? That's an interesting question. We're supposed to rely on Him, but yeah, what's our part in it? Isn't there something that we have to do? Certain things? Isaiah 40:31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Wait. What does that mean? Just sit down in your recliner and put your feet up and grab that remote control for your television and just wait for something to happen? Wait is not a passive word. It's an active word. Strong's concordance gives it number 6960. To wait means to bind together by twisting. What? To bind together by twisting. How do you connect two wires together? That's exactly what you do, isn't it? To bind together by twisting. Or to collect, to expect, to gather together, to look for. The Hebrew word is kavah. It's spelled Q-A-V-A-H, kavah. Now, for 6 months this summer, we did a study on Psalms 119, where we, this is on Wednesday night, where we not only looked at the text and we looked at the scripture, but we also looked at the little Hebrew letter that's at the top of every section. Because there are 22 Hebrew letters. And we discovered that each one of those letters, not only do words have meanings in Hebrew, but the letters have meanings also. The word wait, kavah, is spelled kof, vav, and he. Kof shows a picture of the back of the head, the letter does. It means behind or follow or hearing the still small voice. hearing the still small voice from behind. The letter Vav is a picture of a hook or a nail or a peg. It means to add, to secure, joining together or joining with. The letter He means behold. The picture it shows is that. A man standing with his two arms up, and that's the way the letter is written. It means behold, but it also means if the letter comes at the end of the word, it means what comes from. So if you take all those definitions and you put them together, waiting means what comes from joining with the still small voice speaking to you from behind. Listening to God. That's the most important part of waiting. Joshua chapter 3, verse 3, it says, at the end, it says, you shall remove from your place and go after it, talking about the Ark of the Covenant. You leave the old behind. Go after the new. Go after the things of God. Leave the things of the world behind. Where you were, in Egypt, which represents the world, you leave it behind. You follow after the things of God. The Ark of the Covenant was the most holy, sacred piece of furniture in the tabernacle. It contained Aaron's rod that budded, which represents God's power. It contained the two tablets of stone, which represents God's word. It contained the jar of manna, which represents God's provision. It represents the presence of God in your life. That is what we're supposed to follow behind as we leave everything else behind. Or follow as we leave everything else behind. Now verse 4 says, yet there shall be a space between you and it. A long space. And that's the way it was, but we need to remember that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He died on the cross and reconciled us to God. That veil going into the temple, into the Holy of Holies, was torn. We have access to God that we didn't have back then. We can boldly come before the throne of grace to seek mercy and grace in time of need. It's a new year. Follow the Lord. Follow that still small voice. Place your trust in Him. And remember, you have not passed this way before. Isaiah 42:9 says, former things have passed away, new things I declare. Declare? That means He speaks it. He speaks it into existence in our life. We need to enter this new year with the faith that gives us, or that tells us to have. It's a new year. We leave our regrets behind. We leave the things that aren't of God behind. And we follow after Him. It's really very simple, isn't it? Do you want to enter into that land of milk and honey? That existence, that life that God promises? Deuteronomy 28 is an interesting chapter. It talks about the curses of God and the blessings of God. If you will obey my voice, if you'll obey my commandments, it will be well with you, God says. I think the verses, or the chapter is about 74, 75 verses long. I'm not exactly sure. But the first 15 verses are what happens, the blessings we receive for obeying God. The next 60-some-odd verses are what happens if we don't. follow God. Follow His ways. Seek Him. Incline your ear to Him. Listen for His voice. And enter into the new year with faith. Because you haven't passed this way before. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you'd touch our hearts. That you would strengthen us for everything that lies ahead. And Lord, I pray that you'd go with us as we go about our day and bring us back safe again tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.